Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Helen Morris, and in this show we are going to discuss Kotter's 8-step change model and how it relates to continual service improvement. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo Training profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. There is a quote from a Greek philosopher that change is the only constant, and that's still true today. J.P. Kotter looked at the organisational requirements that we have for understanding change and came up with an 8-step process. There are many theories about how to do change, but many of them will originate with the leadership and change management guru, John Kotter. He was a professor at Harvard Business School and a world-renowned change expert. He introduced his 8-step change process in his 1995 book, Leading Change. We're going to look at his 8 steps for leading change as we go through this presentation. Step 1. Create urgency. For change to happen, it helps if the whole company really wants it, so we need to develop a sense of urgency around the need for change. This may help you spark the initial motivation to get things moving. It isn't simply a matter of showing people poor statistics or talking about increased competition. An open and honest dialogue will help people understand what's happening. If lots of people start talking about the change you propose, the urgency will build and feed on itself. So, identify potential threats. Develop scenarios showing what could happen in the future. Examine opportunities that should be or could be exploited. Start honest discussions and give dynamic and convincing reasons to get people talking and thinking. Request support from customers, outside stakeholders, and industry people to strengthen your argument. Kotter suggests that for change to be successful, 75% of a company's management needs to buy into the change. So you have to work really hard on step one and make sure you've spent significant time and energy building the urgency before moving into your improvement initiative. Don't panic and jump in too fast, because you don't want to risk further short-term losses. If you act without proper preparation, you'd be in for a very bumpy ride. Step 2 is about forming a powerful coalition. Convince people that change is necessary. This often takes strong leadership and visible support from key people within your organisation. Managing change isn't enough. You have to lead it. You can find effective change leaders throughout your organisation, and they don't always need to follow the traditional company hierarchy. To lead change, you need to bring together a coalition or team of influential people whose power comes from a variety of sources, including job title and status, but also expertise and political importance. Once formed, your change coalition needs to work as a team, continuing to build urgency and momentum around the need for change. So, identify the true leaders in your organisation. Ask for an emotional commitment from these key people. They really need to buy into the need for your initiative to work. Work on team building within your change coalition. Remember, this may be a diverse group of people, not just from the senior management chain. And check your team for weak areas. Ensure you have a good mix of people from different departments and different levels within your organisation. Step 3 is all about creating a vision for change. When you first start to think about change, there will probably be many great ideas and solutions floating around. Link these concepts to an overall vision that people can grasp and easily remember. A clear vision can help everyone understand why you're asking them to do something. When people see for themselves what you're trying to achieve, then the directives they're given tend to make more sense. So, determine the values that are central to the change. Develop a short summary, just one or two sentences, that capture what you see as the future of your organisation or what you're trying to achieve with your particular improvement. Create a strategy to execute that vision, and ensure that your change coalition can describe the vision in 5 minutes or less. That's really important. So we're going to have to get our change coalition to practice their vision speeches often. If people don't have a clear understanding of the end goal and the target we're aiming at, it's really difficult to get them to buy into the process. So step four leads us on to communicating that vision. What you do with your vision after you create it will determine your success. Your message will probably have strong competition from other day-to-day communications within the company. So you'll need to communicate it frequently and powerfully and embed it within everything that you do. Don't just call special meetings to communicate your vision. Instead, talk about it every chance you get. Use the vision daily to make decisions and solve problems. When you keep it fresh in everyone's minds, they'll remember it and respond to it more easily. It's also important to walk the talk. So carrying things out and what you do is far more important and believable than what you say. Actions do really speak louder than words. Demonstrate the kind of behaviour that you want from others. So talk often about your change vision and the goal that you're trying to achieve. Relate it to people's concerns and anxieties and address these openly and honestly. Recognise that change is unsettling and that people need to understand the impact it will have on them and how they can respond to it. Apply your vision to all aspects of operations, from training right the way through to performance reviews. Tie everything back to that vision of improvement that you have that you're trying to drive through. And above all, lead by example. Be seen to be doing things that promote and actively support your improvement initiative. It's not good enough to simply talk about it, ask others to do it, and then not do anything about it yourself. Step 5 is about removing obstacles. If you follow these steps and reach this point in the change process, then you've been talking about your vision and building buy-in from all levels of the organisation. By now, hopefully, your staff want to get busy and achieve the benefits that you've been promoting. But there's likely to be some resistance to change. Is anyone in particular resisting the activities or the changes that you wish to make? Are there processes or structures that are getting in its way? Put in place a structure for change and continually check for barriers to it. You may find them in the most unlikely places. People who enthusiastically embrace the idea of change and talk about it a lot, you may find when you look at their actions, they're not actually carrying out their words in real time. So we need to make sure that anybody who's associated to our improvement actually buys in and does what's required. Removing obstacles can help empower the people you need to execute your vision, and it can help the change to move forward more successfully. So, identify or hire change leaders whose main roles are to deliver the change. In CSI, we talk about having a CSI manager to manage changes and improvement initiatives. This is the kind of role that we're talking about here. Look at your organisational structure, the job descriptions and the performance and compensation systems to ensure that they're in line with your vision. Recognise and reward people for making change happen. Identify the people who are resisting the change and help them see what's needed. Take action to quickly remove barriers, human or otherwise. That's quite an unpalatable element of a change initiative, but it needs to happen. We don't want to make people uncomfortable or make them feel awkward about any changes, but if genuinely you have someone who is not buying into the change and really doesn't want to be involved in what's going on and doesn't want to help you achieve your goals, then something needs to be done about them. Whether this is through performance reviews or whether it's a tactful suggestion that perhaps if they don't like the way the organisation is going, then maybe it isn't the organisation for them, those are difficult conversations. So we need to be very sensitive to people's requirements. It's usually the case that somebody who's objecting to the change will actually be able to be won round. You just have to make sure you understand what's in it for them and display that benefit to them. Step 6 is creating short-term wins. Nothing motivates people more than success. Give your company a taste of victory early in the change process, within a short time frame, and this could be a month or a year depending on the type of change, you'll want to have results that your staff can see. Without this, critics and negative thinkers might hurt your progress. If nothing is visible, then it's easy to say it's never going to work. Create short-term targets, not just one long-term goal. and that fits in nicely with our continual service improvement model, making sure that we have measurable targets that we achieve along the path to our vision. You want to make sure that each smaller target is achievable, with little room for failure, but each win that you produce will further motivate your staff. Look for surefire projects you can implement without help from any strong critics of the change. Don't choose early targets that are expensive. You want to be able to justify the investment in your project. And thoroughly analyse the potential pros and cons of your targets. If you don't succeed with an early goal, it can really damage your entire change initiative. Reward the people who help you meet those targets. Step 7 is building on the change. Cotter argues that many change projects fail because victory is declared too early. Real change takes time and runs deep. Quick wins are only the beginning of what needs to be done to achieve long-term change. Launching one new product using a new system is great, but if you can launch 10 new products, that means the new system is working. To reach that 10th success, you need to keep looking for improvements. Each success provides an opportunity to build on what went right and identify what you can improve. So, after every win, analyse what went right and what needs improving. Set goals to continue building on the momentum you've achieved, and learn about continuous improvement. Keep ideas fresh by bringing in new change agents and leaders for your change coalition. And step 8 is to anchor the changes in your corporate culture. Finally, to make any changes stick, it should become part of the core of your organisation. Your corporate culture often determines what gets done, so the values behind your vision must show in the day-to-day activity and work. Make continuous efforts to ensure that the change is seen in every aspect of your organisation, and it will give that change a solid place in your organisation's culture. It's also important that your company's leaders continue to support the change. This includes existing staff and any new leaders who are brought in. If you lose the support of these people, you might end up back where you started. So, talk about your progress every chance you get. Tell success stories. Include the change ideals and values when you're hiring and training new staff. Publicly recognise key members of your original change coalition and make sure that everyone knows about their contribution. Create plans to replace key leaders of change as they move on, and this will ensure that their legacy is not lost or forgotten. So, create a sense of urgency, recruit powerful change leaders, build a vision and effectively communicate it, remove obstacles, create quick wins, and build on your momentum. And in that way, you can help make the change part of your organisational culture. That's when you can declare a true victory and sit back and enjoy the change you envisaged so long ago. Continual service improvement in ITIL takes this idea and really runs with it throughout the whole of our service life cycle. So, next time you're thinking of doing an improvement initiative, remember Cotter's 8 steps to organisational change. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio archive for Helen Morris. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com.